You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
Are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say, Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope you're going to have a good day today. It's Friday, it's the weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping, too, the weather is accommodating for you to do it in some areas of the country. It's kind of cooled down, and some of those fires have been tamed. Some of those floodwaters have receded. Time to get to work. But, brothers and sisters, it's part of a new normal. Yeah, it is. It's part of a new normal. All because of greed. All because of greed. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, the first one you see is African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. Or also, you can go to whatever search engine you use and put in babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening, this program, of course, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and all times are going to give our Eastern times. Last night, on Thursdays, from 8 to 10, Black Liberation Movement, Mississippi on the Move, with your host, Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Today, this evening at 8 o'clock, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern, the Sankofa Elders Council. On Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Imani Tayemba is set to take off again. That's right, in a couple of weeks, July 11th to the 23rd, to Ghana. Then, November 20th to December 2nd, Kemet. December 24th to January 4th, Azania. That's January 4th, 2025, but of course you should know that, but sometimes you just got to say it. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025, Brazil. Brothers and sisters, just go to the website, check it out for yourself. Just peruse it. Everything that you need and information that you need, everything is right there to help make a trip of a lifetime, whether you're going to go to Africa or where you're going to go, if you're going to go out of the country.
All right, family. Habesha. Habesha is a Pan-African organization that cultivates leadership in youth and families through practical experiences in cultural education, sustainable agriculture, entrepreneurship, holistic health, and technology. Habesha Incorporated.org. And of course, they have a program upcoming. That program is done. October 12th in Ghana. October 12th in Ghana. So Habesha works. Yes, it does, family. Habesha works. The Ledge Group, land for the environmental development of group economics. Ledge Group. Ledge Group deals in the four areas of human necessity, human essentiality, food, water, clothing, and shelter. Food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 countries in African soil with over 170 employed and over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. The Minister of Wellness. The Minister of Wellness. Go to theministerofwellness.com. Brother Nathaniel Jordan. Check out the products. Some new products, even though he is in Kenya. But the new products and information. Theministerofwellness.com. Smy Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Smy Pharmacy. Give Brother Jabril a call at 770-765-7751. 770-765-7751. Smy Pharmacy. You want to drop him an email? Go drop him an email at smyfarmacy@gmail.com. SmyFarmacy@gmail.com. SmaiFarmacy@gmail.com. Yeah. Okay, family. Moses West Foundation. The Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, is seeking donations so they can provide clean, drinkable water. And they've developed the atmospheric water generation technology to provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. And I think it's just vitally important that this brother be supported. You know, water is the elixir of life. Okay. Oh, what am I doing here? Am I messing up something here? Man, I tell you. Okay, there we go. Got my screen back, family. There we go. yes. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here in Atlanta on the Ralph Dibbert Abernathy in the West End. Right across the street from Soul Veg and up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna is with Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. They have an array of dry goods, beans, and all kinds of good stuff like that. And then they have, you know, smoothies and fruit drinks and pastries and all kinds of good stuff like that. You know, with Dada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. If you want to give them a call them at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. With Donna's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. Mama Nia. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, t-shirts, figurines, and all so much more. Give her a call. If you're looking for a book, she may have it. And if she doesn't, she'll get it for you if you want it. 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located east of Atlanta in Lithonia. You go east on I-20, take exit 74, make a left onto Main Street in Lithonia all the way about a mile, and on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, where Brother Gazimde Ajamu, my good friend, is the proprietor. If you want to give him a call him at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Culture Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. There is light in the Black Dot, no doubt. Jump back in your ride and head back the opposite way. You were headed north on Main Street. Now you're headed south. And once again, when you get to I-20, make a left. You're headed back east again, but it's the next exit. You're taking the next exit, exit 75. You're going to go make a right, and three lights. Make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Sun Goddess. Let me talk about us lifting us to economic development cooperative for our people. Last night they had their broadcast, a Thursday night broadcast, every Thursday night from 9 to 10 on blogtalkradio.com. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU, us lifting us. Some people who go online to catch it, or some just dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. You can call to listen or give questions, comments, or concerns. It's up to you. But please do it. Us lifting us. Very quickly, I want to, on Fridays, my good brother Yosef Muhammad, former president of the IABPFF, that's the International Association of Black Professional Firefighters, as I am. They have a radio program, not the IABPFF, but the brothers and sisters from the nation. They have a radio program, Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness, every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern, from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. That's Blog Talk Radio. The number to call is 563-999-3089. That's 563-999-3089. Disaster Awareness for Community Preparedness. Okay, where am I at? I did ULU, and now I got to talk about Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. That's right, Brother Bija. He's open Tuesday through Sunday at 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. He has everything. Believe me, check out Brother Bija in Macon, Georgia. If you want to give him a call, call him at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop in Macon, Georgia. Sun Goddess Essential, one-stop natural shop located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, Booth 225. Give my sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti, my sister Gabby Aurelia has been doing great work with the young brothers and sisters in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. They rely strictly on, there is no government help. That's why I'm saying, brothers and sisters, check it out. Go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti. That's how you pronounce it. It's not pronounced Haiti, it's pronounced Haiti. A-Y-I-T-I.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right. And, of course, Baba Barudi and Mama Yah with Akabin Institute. And they're doing a lot of extra stuff that they're doing. But, you know, you can contact them or you can support them through PayPal. If you have PayPal, it's yahbarudi.com. Or if it's Cash App, the dollar sign, Yah, Y-A-A, the letter M, then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, for Cash App. If you want some of the books that Baba, who's a prolific writer, go to Akabin House, akabinhouse.com, A-K-O-B-E-N, A-K-O-B-E-N, akabinhouse.com. In fact, one book we always read from every day of this program for the last few years is the Inyasasim of Daily revolutionary thought. June 27th. Bad character causes one to become a coward. Odu Ifa. Since we are children of Ma'at, the divinity within us is targeted by those who want to destroy our spiritual connection. It is their full intent to break our spirit so that we will become them through lesser and do their will. The targeting of who we are as a people is an anti-African reality, has invited an ever-expanding stream of meaningless, distractive, childish debates over what constitutes good character, what it means to be African, and what we have. And what we have came to call the collective conscious community. That's right. We call it the conscious community. This childish debate has been spearheaded by those who want to modify the meaning of African consciousness so there will be more user-friendly to compare Africans and to compromise Africans. But most importantly, this is an effort to bring the definition of what it means to be an African more in line with Urugu's perception of us as being simply a melanated sub-variation of them. Damn. Let me read that again. But most importantly, this is an effort to bring the definition of what it means to be African more in line with Urugu's perception of us as being simply a melanated sub-variation of them. Damn. Affirm, I have good character. Affirm, I have good character. June 28th. A child was born inside the city yesterday. His mother held him to her breast, and she began to pray. Please let them grow up to be strong and know the truth and have the chances to taste the innocence of youth. Bobby Womack. We will save the world and create a sovereign reality through words. Words precede everything. The thoughts which make intelligible what happens in and around us are formed through the ordering of words. Words define and design the reality we bring into existence. Warriors must remember that words are power, and the way thoughts are framed into language will determine how they are read and empowered by the universe. Words are pneuma, and pneuma is power exalted. Words are desire. Words are verification. They are incantation. They are incantation. They are power. Thought is prayer. Sweat is libation. Work is spiritual possession. Every action you take, every word you utter, is a result of thought, whether limited or deep. And every thought you generate, every word you utter, is prayer. At the same time, though, we should not forget where we are and what we're up against. We should remember that evil prays as well. Or as our ancestors would say, a person trying to kill a snake should remember that the snake also wants to live. So if every thought is prayer, what should we expect? Affirm, I clean and protect the spaces in which our children learn and play through creative thought, utterance, and action. Affirm, I clean and protect the spaces in which our children learn and play through creative thought, utterance, and action. June 29th. When a peaceful environment is combined with deep thought and study, fantastic things can occur. But when health and peace are absent, wisdom can't reveal itself. Art can't manifest, strength can't fight, wealth becomes useless, and intelligence can't be applied. Dirk Twine. Warriors read. Revolutionary words are some of the warrior's most potent weapons. In our warrior scholar tradition, reading goes far beyond self-evaluation. Everything worthy of study should be read for someone else, someone we know or will come to know, who needs it to become a better African. We are, each other's educators. So to disrespect a warrior's library is to disrespect his or her weapons, an act considered treasonous on any viable front line. Affirm, I create peaceful environments and think within that space. Affirm, I create peaceful environments and I think within that space. Brothers and sisters, once again, the Enyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. I say. Yeah. Sister Fua, thank you, my sister. Sent me some information about Richard Allen, the owner of Black Wall Street here in, well, it's not in Atlanta, it's in Stonecrest. It's at the mall. And I just mentioned that you would take I-20. If you're coming from Atlanta, you would take I-20 East and you would exit 75. And you make a right, three lights, you make another right, and on the left would be the new Black Wall Street Market. Had a chance to meet him in Baltimore. Told him who I am and what I do. And then, but I really would love to have had a chance to talk with him. Because when I went to the new Black Wall Street Market, it was still, you know, getting it together. And when it opened, I wish that all the money needed to open it completely would have been available. That we would have invested in it and many of us put money up or whatever. Because it is, I'm just keeping it real. Some businesses are doing well and some businesses are already out of business. There's a lot of empty spaces. A lot of things didn't open. And so it looks like, you know, the reality is this, dear family. There has to be a group of us that understands that we, that businesses are relying on us. Businesses are relying on us to patronize them. So, Brother Richard Allen transitioned, and good brother, and I hate that he did. Yeah. Okay. Donald Trump lied on every answer. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the debate. And to my dear friend, thank you. Appreciate you very much. Provide me some information and I'll deal with that. That's what we're going to talk about today is the debate. The debate. Yeah. You know, I think the format was good. Unfortunately, for Joe Biden, he looked every bit of his age. He spoke just, weak. It wasn't like Trump wanted the debate because he didn't. He's a lie. But then again, if it's getting points because I'm saying something, regardless if it's true or not. But I mean, to me, family, this is just me. If you're running for president, whatever it is, you should be a person of character. You should be a person of integrity. You should be somewhat of an honest person because you as the president of whatever it is, you're responsible for making whatever it is that you're the president of happen. You're responsible for making sure that it continues to grow. You're responsible for making sure whatever that is, if it's money, it continues to get that. If it's programs, it continues to provide that. Whatever it is. But if you are a lying son of a, and you have no integrity, You're narcissistic. You're evil. You know, family, to even have a pole that has this son of a bitch in the lead, he should be in prison, and you know it. He should be in prison. He twisted the whole situation of January 6th, saying it was Nancy Pelosi's fault. And she mentioned it, and she attested to it. Man, this cat, Donald Trump, you know, I've said this many times. I haven't talked about him. I didn't talk about him early on when my program started because, you know, I said I've been on the air 10 years, and I think 8 on this platform with Time for an Awakening, maybe 7, I don't know. But anyway, I didn't talk about him when he was running and when he won. I probably made mention to that fact of how idiotic that really is that this man won. But then again, I wouldn't have voted for Hillary Clinton for dog catcher. She was a deeply flawed candidate. And then, of course, you know, he lost to Biden because why? Because of how evil this man is and what he did. Now, understand this. I heard this from a few of us. Oh, man, I like Trump. When Trump was in office, I did a little bit better economically. Well, if you're in tune to being an American, then you think individualistically. You don't think about family. You don't think about community. You don't think about being collective. You think about yourself, me, myself, and I. And so if your increase was decent to such degree that you felt it was important and you probably voted for him again, because I know it was a small number, let's be real, voted for Donald Trump, us, and it was predominantly men. Because Biden's move was to get Kamala Harris as the vice president. And I don't know how many or what the percentage of the sisters, American African women, voted for the Democratic ticket, but I'm quite sure it was substantial. It put him over the top. Well, he won by, I think, 7 million votes. Nationwide. So it was a landslide. I ain't want no damn landslide. I don't know what the hell it is. But he won the thing, okay? He won the vote. Trump is a liar. The vote was not taken. Although, I guess for him, because the votes were counted in the East, you know, on the East Coast going towards, because they moved that way. And he felt that I'm winning, so I'm going to win. But, man, you got to be stupid not to understand California and some other states, Oregon, watch. You got to be stupid, and that's what he is. And so he justified consistently telling that lie. You know, and I didn't think that was going to happen. I didn't think he was going to do that. What I thought he was going to do was, you know, pardon all the people that he had working for him that were also habitual liars and thieves and gangsters. I mean, there were so many people and still people today because of him, you know. And then, of course, he kept that up and he did the April 6th. That was him. And the instructions was take it. Go ahead. If you don't fight like hell, you will not have a country. What does that mean? Fight. What are you talking about? See, I just read the Inyei Sesim about words. About words. Forming words and that form thoughts and, more importantly, that form action. Words. So if I'm a foolish-ass Trump supporter, I'm one of his mega heads, and I hear this man talk about, you know, if you don't fight like hell, you won't have a country, you know, and I believe what he's saying, even though in the forefront of my mind, if I'm intelligent, if I'm aware, I know he's a habitual liar. In the forefront of my mind, I know he's a liar. But yet, I'm willing to go along with him because I want him to be our president again. And of course, it can't. His vice president can't be Pence because they tried to. They were gonna. If they would have found Pence, yes, yes, family. If they would have found Mike Pence, they would have hung his ass. The crowd was whipped up into. Well, you see what they did. You see what, five people died. A lot of injuries. He's responsible for that. And many other Republicans said that initially. And then, of course, they realized that this man still has the Republican Party by the balls. He still is the leader of the Republic. And you know what? He said that in an interview about 20 years ago, maybe. He said, if I did run for president, I would run as a Republican because, you know, they're easy to sway. They're stupid. You know, all I got to do is give tax cuts to the rich because that's who Republicans are. You know, that whole thing of Democrat, Republican. Because what they like to do sometimes is use Abraham Lincoln, you know, especially as it applies to us. Because he was the Republican of that time. And you know what he did. No, he didn't free no damn slaves. I hate that. He freed the slaves. Got assassinated. That's what he did. And it was a civil war. The Emancipation Proclamation. 2.5 years later, being read by General Granger in Galveston, Texas, Juneteenth Day. But Trump said, I would be a Republican. He's not a Republican. He's an opportunist. He's a manipulator. The words of this man, it personifies Urugu. All of the evil things that you could say is embodied in that man. He's a habitual liar. Let me see what my friend sent me here. So let me see here.
The Trump list, it is way, way longer. So deep breath. He said some Democratic states allow people to execute babies after birth, an egregious lie that is illegal in every state. He said everybody, even Democrats, wanted Roe v. Wade overturned. Roe was supported by 2/3 of Americans, even more Democrats. He said every legal scholar wanted Roe overturned. return abortion return to the states. Legal scholars have told me directly this is not true. He said the U.S. currently has the biggest budget deficit ever. No, that happened under Trump in 2020. He said the U.S. currently has a record trade deficit with China. That also happened under Trump in 2018. He said Biden personally gets a lot of money from China. Zero evidence of this. He said there were no terror attacks during his presidency. In fact, there were multiple attacks. He said Iran didn't fund Hamas, Hezbollah, other terror groups under his presidency. Iran, in fact, did. He said Biden wants to quadruple people's taxes. That is pure fiction. He said the U.S. has provided way more aid to Ukraine than Europe had. It's actually the opposite. He said the U.S. has provided about $200 billion in Ukraine aid. It's closer to $110 billion. He said 18 or 19 million people have crossed the border under Biden. That is millions too high. He said many of these migrants are from prisons or mental institutions. His own campaign cannot corroborate this. He said Biden has only created jobs for illegal immigrants. Total nonsense. He said Nancy Pelosi turned down his offer of 10,000 National Guard troops on January 6th. There's no evidence she even got such an offer. It was the president, not Pelosi, who had the power to deploy the D.C. Guard. He said Pelosi now acknowledges she turned down the troops. No, her office tells me this claim is still a lie. He said he deployed the National Guard to Minneapolis in 2020. Actually, that was the Democratic governor. He spoke of, quote, ridiculous fraud in the 2020 election. Zero evidence of any widespread fraud. He said NATO was going out of business before he took office. Completely, clearly absurd. He said the U.S. was paying 100% of NATO before he came along. The U.S. made up about 71% of NATO defense spending, not 100. He said he, not Biden, is the one who lowered insulin prices in Medicare. He did it for some seniors, but Biden did it for far more. He said Biden indicted him. Again, no evidence Biden has had a personal role in any of these four prosecutions. He said Europe takes no U.S. cars. Just not true. He spoke of food prices quadrupling under Biden. That's a wild exaggeration, though they are up. He said Biden made up the idea. He called dead service members suckers and losers. No, the Atlantic magazine reported that, and then former Trump chief of staff John Kelly corroborated it. He said Biden called black people, quote, super predators for 10 years. Biden never once deployed that phrase, let alone for 10 years, though he did at least once speak of, quote, predators without specifying it was about black people. He said his Trump tax cut was the largest in U.S. history. Not true, though, in fairness, Biden also said this. Trump said China and others stopped buying from Iran under him. China never stopped. He revived his pet lie, I don't know how many times I've done it, that he signed the Veterans Choice Program into law. Barack Obama did that in 2014. Trump signed an expanded version in 2018. And finally, Trump said Biden got rid of that veterans program. Biden has not done that. The Trump list, it is way, way longer. So deep breath.
Well, they're gonna bring it back again, but I tell you, the man is a habitual liar. It is who he is. He has no integrity. He has no character, no good character. And yet, realistically, people are going to vote for him. And he could possibly win. And I know for some of us, you definitely don't want that. But that's the reality of the situation. He's going to win. You know, I jokingly said that in 2016 because I didn't want him to win, but I don't vote for white folks, especially for public office, you know. I've never voted for a Caucasian for public office in my life. And I showing the hell ain't gonna start now with all this madness, you know. So I really couldn't care less, although I did not want him to win. That means maybe I wanted, no, I hate the Clintons. I really do. I hate the Clintons. I hate the Clintons for what they done in Haiti. All that money they got and didn't do a damn thing. I hate them when she was Secretary of State, killing Muammar Gaddafi and making jokes about it. I hate her and Barack for that too, because Barack, you know. Yeah, Understand something, family. When you are the president of the United States of America, when you are the president of the United Snakes of America, you have to do the bidding of the... Now, foolishly, I did vote for Barack. Yes, I did. I gave money. And if I can give you some money and vote for you, I'm going to do that. You know? And foolishly, I was tripping. I was like, man, yeah, Barack, President Mitchell, he might have Kwanzaa. He might have Kwanzaa at the White House, you know? Yeah, right. So anyway, family, this is what we're going to talk about today. If you've seen it, give me a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. I'm going to look for a couple other things that I wanted to play in conjunction with this. Because a lot has been said, a lot has been done. So, yeah. So I'm going to find what I'm looking for in the break. We have a break upcoming, so I'm going to definitely do that, you know. And find some more stuff that goes along with what we're talking about today, which is the debate. The debate. Poor. And also, too, based upon the performance, do you think that somebody else should run for president as opposed to Biden? Now, you must understand this. Joe Biden chose Kamala Harris because of sisters. Sisters, 90-something percent went to Biden-Harris ticket. 90-some percent of that vote, and they voted a lot stronger. And they have always voted a lot stronger in terms of numbers than American African men. And so it was that block that put Biden, well, Biden, like I said, 7 million, you know, more votes. But that block, you could take for granted. You know? That block. So, yeah. Yeah, Kamala Harris. And so, her, a heartbeat away from the presidency, and you could see the way Biden, the way he moves, the way now he's... The way he's talking now, you're right. He may not make another 4 years. And Kamala Harris would be in the position for the presidency. Now, it would be if Biden telling the Democratic Party, saying, listen, we're going to elevate the vice president, but she's a black woman. That ain't happening. And you know it ain't happening. Okay? So, the governors of California, Gavin Newsom, the governor of Michigan, Whitmer, the governor of Pennsylvania, I think is, I gotta get his name, you know, because I think he's a European Jew, and a couple others, they would look at them. And for them, if they're chosen to bring, see, based upon what I heard last night and listening to some of the pundits after the debate, said that they can challenge the ticket Before, you couldn't do that, but they can challenge the ticket. So, right away, many Democrats were in such a hizzy. They were like, man, he was terrible. He looks like he's about to kick over now. We got to do something. We got to put somebody else in there. We can't let Trump win this election. And you're right about that. And he shouldn't. You should be able to put a damn mop. You should be able to put any damn body and have them beat his ass. There should be no way in hell that Donald damn Trump should be running for anything. He should be in prison. But what they want to do is bring it to an election. Do you want Donald Trump or do you want Joe Biden? That's how we'll do it. We're gonna scrap all the indictments, all the other legal issues against this man, which they should have brought up once they happened, and they should have convicted him. Man, what privilege. This is a prime example of white supremacy, privilege, white privilege that this son of a bitch has, that he can do this. You and I and anybody and your mama know that if this was reversed, your ass would be in prison. You would not be able to run for nothing. The only thing you could run for is your damn life. So, we're going to take a break. Let me come back from the break. We want to take your phone calls. Let us know what you think. Okay? And we'll find some more information. I might play that again on those slides. Here's another thing they should have done right away. This man has not shown his taxes. Again, and that should be a stipulation. If you run for president of the United States, you should be able to show 3 years of your taxes. And that shouldn't be anything, because you should be a man or a woman who's open. You ain't concealing nothing. You're running for the highest office. And it's interesting. If you are a felon, you can't, there's a lot of things you can't do, but you can run for president of the United States, the highest office in the land. You can't. This is so crazy, man. This is so crazy. Unbelievable. Oh. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Let's get back to the conversation. You can join the conversation by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Have a number of you in the queue, and you know what to do. Hit star twice, and we can have some conversation. Hit star twice, and then we can have conversation. Sister Abia, is that you?
Good morning.
Good morning, my sister. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, or this okay.
Well, it's afternoon now, technically, so.
Yeah, well, doing your program and the insight, and I was agreeing with you. It's such a blatant abomination with this Trump, what he's, you know, he's just so nefarious.
Yeah.
And getting, you know, just the personification of just the rapist. He's a liar. And the way he's getting that white privilege. And it's
white
so
privilege.
Blatant.
It is.
So blatant. Like you said, if it was us, we would be under the prison.
Right. And some other people, but because of him and how he has been and how he does things, they're willing to give him all kinds of benefit of doubt. And that's shown up white privilege.
And a lot of it's so blatantly obvious, just like the judge that he has, Cannon, she's just being all corrupt, trying to make all these excuses for him and trying, won't even give a trial date. And she's trying Jack Smith, the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's hilarious and nefarious. And, you know, something recently that they did this morning with the Supreme Court, who was in cahoots, they ruled that they're freeing the white boys, a lot of the white boys that was involved in the insurrection on January 6th.
Mm-hmm.
And so, okay, so you're going to free them. And then also that could help Trump, too, because he would try to get some of his charges dismissed because he has charges about obstruction for the insurrection on January 6th. So it's just another example, all the corruption.
Even though it happened supposedly three and a half years ago, you can vividly picture him, hear him talk about making that move on the Capitol. It's clear. But yet, then he said last night, that Nancy Pelosi did that. That was her fault. And she admits
he's such a liar. He is such an intelligent.
Sister B, you're correct. It is a deep insult of your intelligence.
Right. And the corruption is just so deep. Now, it's so illogical. So the Supreme Court is trying to decide if he should have immunity for all the crimes he committed. They stalling and they still haven't made their decision, supposed to be making it today. What? Who ever heard of if you commit crimes, murder, theft, or whatever you did, you should just be immune? And that's a serious type of
if his court. If his court, which is stacked with conservatives, the three he put on there, which, you know, and so there's only three that are not, and that's two women and one man.
The sister's there.
Right. And so they always have a majority for I don't know how many years from now. They'll have a majority. You know, that's why even though many people were against Biden for trying to change the Supreme Court, if he wanted to do that, he made no move to do that. But if he wanted to do that, they were squarely against it. They like the 9 Supreme Court justices. You got to have an odd for somebody to break it. You know, whatever time it came up. But right now, it's full square. Every now and then, John Roberts, who is the Chief Justice, and I still don't know how the hell this how this man became Chief Justice, who was appointed by Bush. I don't know how that really happened. If somebody knows, you know, how that happened, because there were many on the court before his ass. So how did he automatically become chief, coming in, become the Chief Justice? But anyway.
More corruption. You know, you were saying they were conservatives. They are radicals. They are conservatives. Those are some radicals, Urugos.
Yeah, well.
They're radical. You know, they're trying to say the conservative part of the court. They just as radical and just as, corrupt. It's just amazing. So the Supreme Court is corrupt. You look at Uncle Thomas Clarence Thomas, how he's lying, conniving, and accepting bribes. And then the Alito, he's up here. His wife is
right.
Both of their wives is in on the January 6th plots and carrying flags. So that shows you that you shouldn't be allowed to be weighing in on court trials like that, because it's not. You know, it's called a
conflict of interest, but I mean,
it's a conflict of interest,
right?
Yeah.
But you know, those are, you know, once again,
so corrupt, man.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I am never amazed, and I'm definitely not amused by the things that this country will do. It is frustrating. It is, you know, it deserves comment to some degree, but ultimately, you say to yourself, that's the way the shit is here. But anyway, all right, dear. Thank you.
Yeah, well, right. I appreciate you. Thank you,
All right, my sister. Bibi Fahodier.
Abifa Bahodier.
All right. Let's go to... I'm trying to get him in some kind of order, so of how you chimed in here. There's a number of you are in the queue, and I appreciate that. Brother Ted Lusk. Brother Lusk. How you doing, my friend?
Good afternoon, Bubba OC. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Looks like the big A-Town was really hot yesterday.
yeah.
some items. And allow me to give a different perspective just to hopefully stimulate conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned about how Black women really pool their energies and efforts in voting with regards to the election. But there was an event that happened yesterday. I'm not sure if you were familiar with the event called the Congress Cognac and Cigars.
Mm.
Congress Cognac and Cigars. This was an event that was spearheaded by two Black Republicans, one out of Texas. His name is Hunt. Excuse me. The other is Byron Daniels, a Black Republican from Florida, right?
Yeah, and from Florida. He is a boot-licking, butt-kissing Negro, if I ever saw one.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
On the president's short list, right, of vice president candidates. But anyway, I'm just kind of curious to know, did you know about that event, number one? And because Georgia is one of those swing states. Now, look, let's kind of get off Donald Trump and President Biden for just a moment and look at the way things are operating. Do we really want to, not we, but do people, who are representing these various factions of Democrat, Republican, et cetera, are they really playing at all cost to win, or are they playing just to have this idea of being fair? You know, sometimes when people play a game, they will lift up all the the stops, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether they're lying to you, whether they deceive you, but the whole object of the ball game is to win.
Right.
Period. Right.
Right.
And so it's just a direction, especially being in a state like Georgia, from what I kind of came across in reading. And then you have these two Black Republicans who visited the state and the city proper and trying to galvanize Black males to to kind of, hey, look at the Republican Party, you know, leave the Democrat Party alone. They've done you wrong. You know, why don't you consider voting in our direction? What are your thoughts? And I'm just kind of curious to know what other callers' thoughts would be on that as well.
Okay. Well, you know, Brother Ted, there's
Thank
so
much.
Yeah, no, yeah, I hear you. But there's just so much corruption on many sides, but particularly on the side of the Republicans because of what they want to do and trying to do. And as a consequence, I don't put any faith at all, none, of them doing anything honestly, justly, righteously. You know, I don't. And so I'm saying whoever wins, and for me, as a Pan-Africanist, as somebody who is talking about independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people, who believes in one Africa, who believes in Pan-Africanism or perish, who believes in unifying or dying, I have no, I really don't have no real say whether it should be Trump, whether it should be Biden, or saying take one of the lesser of two evils or that kind of bull. I don't personally, but we can discuss it, we can debate it, we can argue it, and so forth. I have no problem with that. But ultimately, ain't none of these crackers ever going to do so. Speaking of crackers, I was thumbing through my thing last night and came across, there is a series of talking about called Crackers. I don't know. I don't know if anybody's seen this, but I watched a trailer. Series called Crackers. And basically what it is one of those a Caucasian who is beating this young brother whose car stopped. And he's asking for help. And he said, well, you stopped in the wrong area this time, boy, nigger. And he's giving a beat down. You know, I don't know what happened to the Caucasian that gave him the beat down to put him in a position to be in a fantasy situation where we're in control and Caucasians are being sold and chopping cotton and picking tobacco and sugar cane, you know.
That's and interesting.
It is very interesting. In fact, one of the brothers who is an abolitionist talks to this Caucasian saying, hey, you know, you're young, you got these skills, you're this, that, and could be a leader in the abolition movement. You know? Yeah, it's called Crackers. And of course, the brothers be calling these Caucasians, these Yorugu crackers all the time, you crackers. And of course, he calling them niggers or niggers. And they don't know the word because based upon this flip fantasy, they have been in control. These Africans have been in control. They have land. They have slaves, which are Caucasians, crackers. So, yeah.
It's interesting, Bob, Oshi, that now you're starting to see a lot of mixed messages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the
right.
And now starts to be created.
Right.
And which way do you go? There was another short that someone had sent me regarding Vidor, Texas, and I'm sure you may be familiar to some degree that Vidor, Texas was one of those sundown towns.
Okay.
Well, the video short was showing how that once was, we are now no more, right? This is, of course, one of the interviewees that was mentioning. And so part of that short had shown a young black male,
mm-hmm.
a young black boy, who has terminal cancer. And so he had been sworn in as an officer of the law. And maybe I'll get around to sending that to you later
okay.
on today.
Okay.
And his daddy was also on there as well, who was being interviewed. And so the whole premise of it was, this is how we once were, right? But we're no longer like
that.
This.
Yeah, we ain't like that no more.
Right?
Yeah.
But yet, yeah. And so, and also in Louisiana, where, you know, you have a township is being created, its own township called St. George, right? And St. George is the name of that cross that's on the Confederate flag, the battle cross of St. George, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting how you're starting to have communities that's building their own incorporation.
You see gentrification happening all over the place. Gentrification,
right. And so,
yeah,
the more things change, they say, the more it stays the same, I guess. So I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah.
But I wanted to offer that perspective, a different perspective with regards to those two black Republicans who were in town, who was at this event, which was interesting, Congress, Cognac, and Sadaz, just trying to galvanize black male votes.
Right.
I just kind of wonder if that turned out. So just thought I'd, of course.
Well, just like they had him at the church. Did you see that one? You see?
No.
they had Trump at the church. And there were more
there
were more Caucasian people at that church than us. And
well, very good. So again, all of this mixed messaging, right?
Yeah.
Are Republicans playing to win, right? I mean, at all costs.
Of course.
Or are Democrats saying, hey, look, you know, we're trying to be fair and just and equitable across the board. So, yes, there is equality, and yes, there is equity.
Yeah.
Look at us, right?
Right.
I just thought I'd throw that out.
I like that, though, Brother Lust, because, you know, the Democrats are trying to play that image of inclusion, of inclusiveness, and fairness, da-da-da. And, of course, the Republicans, they don't give a damn. They're whatever how they can manipulate this to make it happen for them, they will do. So, you're right. Okay, my brother. Peace to
you. We'll be talking.
All right.
All right. Bye now.
Brother Marcus.
Yes, Brother Oshie. Greetings, my
brother.
Greetings,
my brother. How are you, Brother Marcus?
I'm doing great, good brother.
Good.
You know, I didn't watch the debate, you know, because, you know, it ain't everything you can put on your mind, you know. So I ain't watched that trash. That's trash.
You and you're right.
So, yeah, it's trash. It's trash because any one of them win, we lose. We
That's
still
right.
lose.
That's right.
See? So it don't really matter. Now, Trump, you know, remember, you know, Trump is not standing out there on his own, you know. Trump have millions of white extremists supporting him.
Yes.
You see? And although his party, you see, members of his party, a lot of them don't support him, you know. But they are forced to support him because he has the support of the people.
Right.
You see? He has the support of large flocks of white people. And we have to remember, you know, these people who are criminals. You see, it's a America is a criminal setup. You see,
it always has been. It was that way from the beginning.
Exactly.
Yes.
It was a bunch of criminals in England. They said, look, we have all these criminals here. One group of criminals have another group of criminals. And they said, look, y'all got to get out of here and go someplace else. So they said, hey, y'all got to go over here to America, go down here to Australia. Because America was a penal colony.
Yes.
Right? Wasn't it a penal colony? They sent you from England and shipped you out. Say, look, go over there. You see, you know, so it was punishment. That they, you know, and then these criminals here, they got strong enough that they threw off the other set of criminals. So they are criminals.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? The Democratic Party, they're criminals too, because why would you float a man like this now out here, seeing that this man is having issues? So, you know what I'm saying? The man has issues. He probably have dementia, whatever.
Yeah.
But you still float him out there.
Man,
you still put him out there.
And brother, he looked bad. He looked pathetic. It was
the man has dementia, but you put him out there anyway.
Yeah.
You see? So they are a part of this stuff too. You know, I was sitting, I was thinking about it. I said, it's like they really want, these Democrats want Trump to win.
Mm-hmm.
But they're putting it like, they're acting like, oh, they are so weird. Because if you really wanted to win, you wouldn't put this man out there because you know this man having issues.
Exactly.
You would go find somebody else and put them there before, you know. But you deliberately put him out there. So they want Trump to win. These Democrats want him to win. They were all in cahoots together. It's just we black folks here confused. They ain't confused.
No. No, they ain't.
See, they are not confused. And they are not going to give us, put us in the driving seat. Oh, Obama was in the driving seat. But he was surrounded by a sea of white folks. He couldn't make no moves because he didn't make any moves. That would be the end of him.
Yeah.
That would be where you had a black president. Well,
you've always got to do the bidding of Caucasians.
Yes,
it is theirs. You're the president. You do their bidding.
Of course. Mm-hmm. I remember one time he was having a meeting with some Republicans. And they had some... They had a plate of food there for him. And he ain't eat the food, you know. They was like, hey, you ain't going to eat the food. And he was looking at the food. So he knew. Hey. He knew what was going on. He was, okay, you know what I'm saying?
I'm here.
It's a criminal. Yeah, they are criminals, my brother. They are criminals, you know. So, you know, I ain't surprised. You know what I'm saying? I never get surprised with what white folks do in America.
Right.
Especially now, like how they getting squeezed. You know what I'm saying? They just might go berserk. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, hey, I went last week down here, right there in Arkansas, one of them went berserk in a store down there. That's a little small town called Fort Ice in Arkansas, right? This guy went in there and shot up the whole store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, them four people that died was four Muzungus, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else, I don't know the other racial ethnic makeup of the ones who got wounded, but black folks, no black folks got died now. See what I'm saying? But, yeah, and that town is 60% black. Because when I saw that, I said, I think this guy, you know, it was black folks, you know, but, you know, the forces of nature made it possible. It was all this one white folks. He went in there and shot, you know, and killed them poor white folks. So these folks getting ready to go buck wild. I don't care who win. It's going to go buck anyway.
Yep.
We just got to prepare ourselves, you know what I'm saying? Because it's coming. Something coming, man. It can't go on like this, you know?
Okay.
Anyway, that's up my little piece. I'll mute my phone and continue.
Okay, my brother. Peace to you. Peace to you, Brother Marcus. All right. Brother Irv. How you doing?
Baba Oshi, can you hear me?
Yep. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning. Baba Oshi, I just want to thank the last three callers that came on. Brother Marcus, opening his conversation with history. If you notice that he talked about history first, about these criminals coming over here. So what Brother Marcus did was he gave you some substance so that you can, so that when he goes further into his conversation, it makes more sense why these people are acting like they're acting. The sister that was on first, she talked about the obvious, which was unbelievable. How can you just tell me and lie to me, and you're trying to normalize lying? They're now to the point where, well, he didn't lie that much, or give him a break. This is how he talks. That's what they said.
Right.
And then the other brother, he mentioned the coonery, and I don't like to call names of my brothers coon or whatever, but the coonery that a brother, the one brother he's talking about was actually online, and Trump was talking. He interrupted Trump and got on the mic and said, I just love you.
Right, right. That was, Yeah.
And that made, I think I threw up in my mouth when he said that. But it was just so, it hurt me to my core to actually see a black man who has gone through the system, has obtained degrees, has manipulated people into voting for him, and then he gets on here and does everything but pull his pants down and let this man have intercourse with him on the screen. Because that's basically what he did to all the black children that are watching this and seeing how this grown man is operating in public. And that bothered me. Because what is happening now, Baba Oshie, you don't get any mail in your mailbox about no politicians until election time. Nobody calls you up and say, how you doing, man? Good to talk to you. No, they don't do none of that. But election time come, they know your address, your phone number. They know where you work. And it's about manipulation. This is all about manipulation. Trump is, you looked at the lady RGB, whatever her name was, who was a Supreme Court justice, the white lady who died.
Right, Ginsburg.
She was so arrogant. So she would not step down so that Obama could make a judge.
Right.
So that the court wouldn't be so lopsided. She was so arrogant. She reminded me of a black Baptist preacher.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
The ones that die in the pulpit.
That's right.
Won't pass the torch, won't give it to the young ones, because the young people are for war and the old people are for counsel. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be out there swinging those swords. You can't even walk, Biden. And Donald Trump, you don't even know what day it is. You're just, you've had three or four mini strokes and they hide everything. I watched the part of the debate and Biden didn't say, well, won't you show your tax return?
Huh? I'm here. I just mentioned that a while ago. I mean, that shit, when that shit happened in 2016, and it happened in 2016, he still didn't have it ready by 2020. And now here it is, 2024. He's still, and so it should have been in 2016. Once he had won the election, you know, Congress should have said that in order for you to run for president, you must have 3 years of your tax returns. What would be the problem with that?
You got to show your tax return to buy a house.
Yeah.
I know the truth. I bought a few houses. But the point I'm making is that this guy is normalizing the idiot talk that he does. Will he go off? Let's see if he goes off. All those types of, I mean, the thing that gets me, and I'm speaking quickly because it bothers me so much. He's coming from the same playbook.
Yeah.
He hasn't updated his act. We're going to be the best. We're the best that ever was. He wouldn't do that to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to fix this problem 3 days after I'm in office. I'm going to fix all this. You ain't fixing
nothing.
That.
You ain't fixing nothing.
And the guy was saying, his guy was absolutely correct. You know Biden can't stand up. You know half the Senate is so old they're in wheelchairs. Why don't you have a term limit? Why don't you let the young people?
Exactly.
Why don't you let the young people do the fighting and you just advise them?
There should be a term limit in the Senate and a term limit in Congress. And a term limit and a term limit on the Supreme Court.
Yes. The Supreme Court should not be forever. That doesn't make sense. I think once you become a certain age on the Supreme Court,
because
you don't get in there till you're over 50 most of the time. So you or if you're younger, you look younger, but you're not. You should have a term limit, and because you can. There's no. Let me tell you, the mind may stay sharp, but the body will wear down.
Mm-hmm.
But Trump was walking down the steps from his airplane the other day, and I watched him. You know, like an old man trying to keep from falling down these damn steps.
And he is. And you're right.
Wouldn't that nobody help him?
Yeah.
He got to stand up.
Well, because he wants to give the appearance, just like Biden wants to give the appearance of some physical strength along with his mental acuity. And I'm not judging his mental acuity, but when he froze last night, I knew that was it.
That was it for
his ass. And nobody wanted to hear anything. Just to see him freeze again, that's about it, you know?
Right. But the thing is, Baba Oshie, they're still going to vote for him.
Yeah.
Trump didn't gain any voters, and Biden didn't lose any voters.
Because what the Arugu does is he doesn't give you anyone to vote for. In other words, am I going to vote for him? Am I voting for Biden, or am I voting against Trump?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it comes down to. I'm not voting for Trump. I'm not voting for Biden. I'm voting against Trump. They don't give you someone to vote for, and there's no choice. This is by design. They are brethren, Baba Oshi. They're brothers. It's like you and me fighting. Me and you have an argument. We start fighting tomorrow. We still brothers.
Right.
We still brothers. And I'm still going to do for my brother. You come at my brother, you got to come at me. It's the same thing. That's why he was talking about golf. My golf thing is this. Everybody says, don't go play golf after they get finished this charade show on TV.
Yeah.
They'll go down to the congressional lunchroom and have lunch together after they on TV cussing each other out and bad built body and blonde and all that. And you still get your paycheck and your 100% insurance, and you still flying around on Air Force One. So stop with the charade. We Baba Oshi, they said nothing about the biggest continent in the world last night, which is Africa. You said nothing about Africa. You said nothing about Haiti, which is in this hemisphere. If I'm right, it's in this hemisphere. And there, they said nothing about that country, and it's out of control. And you done sent some other brethren over there to fight their brethren.
Way you do. Kenya's having some serious home problems, and yet they're sending some a military from Kenya over to Haiti.
To fight their brothers. To fight their brothers.
Yeah.
And you don't see nothing wrong with that. But Niger did something the other day that was very interesting. They shut down the uranium mine. Huh? They shut down the uranium mine. So what I say to Niger, get your guns together.
Make sure
that they give you some bunkers. They coming. They're not going to ask you for that uranium the next time.
Right. They're just going to take it. And then also, too, in the election against Macron, now the candidate is the far right, the fascist, Le Pen, I think her name is.
Mm-hmm.
Her father was one of the main fascists 20-some years ago, you know. And so that's what's happening. You know, understand
but
something,
he said nothing
man.
About that.
Yeah.
He said nothing about that, Baba Oshi. They were talking about golf games and dumb stuff.
Yeah.
And Baba Oshi, there's so many things going on in the world right now that are changing. So, and the stop with this, I'm going to bring the prices down. The bread is never going to be 15 cents a loaf or more.
For real. Yes, for real.
Stop it.
Yeah. A dollar and a half for a gallon of milk. That ain't happening. You know, let's be real.
Stop it.
Yeah.
But you're still running on that. I'm going to get the prices down, and I'm going to make it good, easy for the American. And how do you do that? On the back of the third, what you call a third world country.
Yeah.
Because if they so third world, why are they still living? They don't need your aid. They need your manufacturing. They want to have their own plants where they are. They have the raw material. So you're not helping anybody but yourself. We see that now.
Mm-hmm.
Baba Oshi, I'm telling you, a change is here. It's not coming. It's already here because the internet's in real time, people.
Exactly.
This is in real. You can see this right now. You can go online right now and see what I'm talking about. I'm not crazy. I know what I see, and I know what people are saying. But I'm telling you, Baba Oshi, that some weird things are going to happen. It's going to seem weird to those who are not keeping up what's going on. Now, when you have an African perspective, when you look at things through a lens of an African, or because Africa's in you, whether you want to believe it or not, brothers and sisters, you are. I don't care how much you relax your hair. I don't care how many handbags you buy, how many Mercedes you buy. You still African. You are, and Africa's a beautiful thing. Don't listen to the BS that they're talking about. They said nothing about Africa, and that took me somewhere. But then again, I'm in Urugu's house.
Yeah,
I'm not in. I'm
so
not
it
home.
Should be so,
I'm
so,
not home.
So as you know, it's no surprise.
It's no surprise. And look at people who come over and let the United Nations, who the United States would not listen to, give them Palestine as their homeland. They gave them Israel. Who is the United Nations to give away someone else in some way, Palestine to anybody? And why didn't you go fight the Germans? hell, the Germans are the ones that put you in the oven. Why don't you take their country?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Baba Uzi.
But that's not how they operate. You know that. Okay. All right, Brother Irv.
Okay.
Talk to you in a minute, my brother. All right, peace. All right. Yeah, family. This is crazy. This is madness. And we hung up in it. But we don't have to participate in it. Many people believe that if you don't vote, if I don't vote for Biden, that's a vote for Trump. See, I hate that, because it's not. If I don't vote for Biden, I don't vote for Biden. Biden's going to get the votes that he's going to get. Trump's going to get the votes that he's going to get. They may not be more or less, but he's going to get what he's going to get. And so for those of us who are not going to participate in this madness, because some of us believe it doesn't make any difference anyway, you know, and so you feel you're doing your due diligence by casting your ballot for the candidate of your choice, and he or she loses. Well, that's how it goes. But I voted. The hell with voting in this system. It's so damn corrupt. Although I will say this, I'm anxious for November to come to see what happens. You know, just like in 2020. In 2020, anxious to see what happens and how they voted. And the fact that in the popular vote, the Republicans have not won a popular vote since Reagan. Since Reagan. And the time of Reagan was interesting, because in the time of Reagan, there was a shift from being liberal and inclusive. Affirmative action was happening prior to that. Once Reagan came in 1980, all that was done. Conservatism, selfishness, greed. You know, that's what was happening.
That's right.
Yep.
Baba Oshi, really quickly, I don't mean to cut in on you, because you were on a roll, bro. You're absolutely correct in the shift. But let's think about this, Baba Oshi. We have been inundated our whole life, even through our religion, to believe that this savior complex, that someone's going to come and save us. Trump or Biden is going to fix everything. He's coming and he's going to save us. Mm-hmm. Ain't nobody going to save you but you, brother.
That's right.
Everything you need is in you. The God that made you gave you everything you needed in this world, gave you a mind, a free will, gave you all the food you needed that grows out the ground, all the oxygen you need to breathe, and he gave you a body that is so magnificent, it heals itself.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
And let me tell you, what's interesting, as I consistently look at the internet and I need to talk to some of the healers, everything that you need to heal your body is in nature for you.
Mm-hmm.
Let your food be your medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't say let your food mm-hmm. be your medicine. Whatever you ingest. Because
when medicine, go ahead.
No, because you know, I'm not. It was Rockefeller. Yeah, it was Rockefeller. So today you have Gates, and I did this on the program Wednesday. I did it on the program Wednesday talking about Bill and Melinda Gates, when I was reading out of the African World newspaper, you know, the African World newspaper, which I'm going to be sending you, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, you bet. But
I can't wait to get it.
But what they were saying in that sense, what Bill Gates is doing, he's trying to kill over 2 billion people. Not million, not 100 million, 2 billion people. They want to depopulate the planet. They feel that, you know, there's too many people on the planet. And, of course, just as I stated and I played that particular piece, they believe that Africans should be the first to go.
Yeah.
Africans should be the first to go. Number one, they're on a land that has resources plenty. And so we want to kill them and take their resources, you know. So they should be the first to go. And governments will be in favor of it. Many of us will be in favor of it. You're going to have countries in Africa, if we don't come together, if we don't unify, that will be against each other, trying to kill each other for the benefit. And just like European countries in America is paying Kenya to go to Haiti to quell the situation in Haiti. You'll see that all. This is madness.
Nicely, Baba Oshi, you said the word quell. What I would have used was the word kill.
Yeah.
They're sent there to kill. If their brethren doesn't do what the white man told them to come over and do, they will kill them.
Yeah.
This is about death.
Yeah.
If you want to depopulate the world, start with yourself.
Right.
Mr. Gates, won't you start with some white folks in Arkansas?
Shit. Well, that ain't going to happen.
But because they're not, it ain't, right. It ain't about killing them. About killing you.
Us, exactly.
They're coming for you.
And so, you have the pharmaceutical companies who are making stuff, especially in today's world, as opposed to Rockefeller years ago. But he hooked up with the pharmaceutical company. He was doing the same thing way back, you know, because he had holdings global. Rockefeller was the richest man, and, of course, they set up the Rockefellers, unlike some other, like the Vanderbilts, and they lost their money. But them cats, they had true generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And their family was extensive, and each of them had generational wealth, you know.
That's
so
right.
So to me, I don't know, Brother Irv. The only thing that I understand and I see is for African people to unite, to unite on the continent. Africans in the diaspora, come onto the continent, whatever expertise you have. It's all about sacrifice and work. The boundaries that you see when you look at a political map were drawn by Europeans at the Berlin Conference. So damn those boundaries. Damn those boundaries, see? So, yeah. So my contention is we need to come over there and make the brothers and sisters. And to me, if somebody does not want to participate in this unification process, get their ass out.
That's right.
Ass gotta go. Right. No more despots. No more. It is all about collaboration. It is all about unification. It is all about sovereignty for African people and controlling the resources. Right. We have more resources today, even though Africa has been pillaged and plundered for centuries. It still has more gold, diamonds, bauxite, uranium, so much iridium. Jesus.
You can keep naming it. Keep naming it. Keep going.
Yep.
You're right. But what they have conned and convinced American Africans into believing is that all we got to do is sit here and wait on a Malcolm X. He's coming. Another Martin Luther King. He's coming. Just wait. Just wait on him. Wait on him. He'll do it. Won't he do it? Just wait on him. And white people saying, I'm not getting my pie in the sky. I'm getting my pie right now. And if it means
that's
me killing you,
so
I'm going to get it.
That's right.
I'm going to get it. And we have to realize that we're not in the meeting. We're on the menu. They're not going to help you. They're going to kill you.
They're going to kill you.
The devil that they speak of, Because, you see, what people want is something to blame everything on.
Mm-hmm.
All the good things that happened, you know, God looked out for me. Something bad happened, you know, the devil did that. Mm-hmm. No, you did it. You did it. Mm-hmm. You pulled the trigger. You let this white man manipulate you. You took your children to that white school and learned them how to be good little black white children. Because like Trump said, black job.
Mm-hmm,
he said
mm-hmm.
black job yesterday, whatever that means.
Yeah, I know.
You did
black. They're coming taking black jobs.
They're going to be taking black jobs. Really? Where the black jobs
at? I know.
The black job. I want to be a supervisor.
No, so anyway, no. That's a white job. That's a white job. That's no.
That's right. The white.
What you want to sweep the floor? You want on sweeping mop? That's a black job. You got
that's
it.
That's a black job. Yeah, and he did so much. He did more than for black people than Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln didn't do nothing for me. He didn't free me. You're not going. I never was a slave, brother.
Man.
So my point is,
the arrogance of that man is ridiculous.
This guy said some things that make you go. Did y'all just let him say that? Because Biden didn't say anything about it. He just shakes his head because he don't know what day it is. He don't know. And now they're sitting there talking about Carmella going to be president, and her Jewish husband is going to be president. So you know, the bottom line here is to protect Israel at all costs, even if it's a world war. You have to protect Israel because they are the bankers, CPAC or whatever that lobbying group they have. They're the ones supposedly with all the money. They finance both sides of this, man. They finance the Democrats and the Republicans. I ain't heard Trump say he ain't going to support Israel, and neither did Biden.
Well, listen, I got a little alert here that I want to read.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, read it.
Okay.
Read it.
No, I don't have much time, but I want to read this alert. Listen up, family. News alert. Supreme Court limits obstruction charges against the January 6th rioters. The Supreme Court has ruled that the Justice Department overstepped by charging hundreds of people who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, 2021, with obstruction in a decision that could force prosecutors to reopen some of these cases. At the same time, the High Court ruled that the charge could be filed against the rioters if prosecutors are able to demonstrate that they were attempting not to just push their way into the building, but rather to stop the arrival of certificates used to count electoral votes and certify the results of the election. The High Court's decision means that the special counsel Jack Smith is likely to continue to pursue the same charge against former President Donald Trump. And to me, if Donald Trump is not charged with that, it's ridiculous. And so the Supreme Court, I tell you, man, this is so bogus. This is so bogus. But what they're saying is that a lot of those people who were charged and imprisoned should not have been. But if your ass was on the property and you were forcing your way, if your ass was in the building, you should be charged. I don't know, brother. I tell you, man, you know, white supremacy is a mother. I tell you. It really
Bob
is.
Ocean.
Yeah.
The one brother went in the office and defecated on the desk of Pelosi or one of those
right.
senators. He defecated.
Right.
So you're saying that he was not, he was doing what now? He was trying to keep the certificates from getting on the desk? That's why he defecated on the desk?
Well, he was trying
to. I don't understand.
They're saying that they were trying to, whatever certificates there were, used to count electoral votes and certify the results of the election, they wanted to try to make sure that didn't happen. But they had done that already. You know that, Irv? You know that.
Right.
They had
done that. They did it already.
See, this is some bull, man. You know, what they wanted to do was stop the counting. And they did that. Because when they stormed it, they knew that, hey, we got to go to some more safer positions in the Capitol building. You know, we can't be where we normally would be and should be counting these electoral votes. And of course, they wound up counting them later that evening, that night.
Mm-hmm.
And because of how the vote went, Biden won. He got the exact number he needed to win the election. It's, you know, it wasn't stolen. This happened. Sister Ibea. Sister Ibea.
You got to mute. Yeah, you had to mute. Yeah, yeah. She just shut
up. Sister Ibea.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, this is a great show. I'm just echoing what Brother Herb was saying and what mm-hmm. you were saying about the corruption of both of them and how they didn't mention Africa. And combining that to the fact it's like voting for either the devil or Satan between Biden and Trump. And Biden is very corrupt, like they were saying, what he's doing in Africa, what he's doing in Haiti. You know, he's behind all the atrocities, the attack of the people with Haiti, with it being so imperialistic, and what he's doing in Ukraine, racist Ukraine that hates African people, and they're sending billions of dollars over there to Ukraine while they're telling the black people you can't get on the bus to evacuate. It's very racist. He's behind that. In Sudan, the attack that they're having. So Biden is very corrupt. And so he ain't neither one of them would be getting my vote anyway.
Okay.
And so I'm just saying, I would vote for Cornel West. He's the most aligned of who I would vote
for. I would vote for Cornel
with the Black Panther Party.
Yeah, right.
Cornel West. Okay. Cornel West.
Yeah, I like him more than any of the other ones. I don't listen to his platform. He's for some African people. So, that's who I. But them other two, they just as corrupt. And I just echo what you were saying.
Well, I guess if you really feel you must vote in the presidential election.
Yeah.
You know, I would write in somebody, you know. Yeah. I might write in Marcus Garvey, you know. Shit. Anyway.
You know, what they said about the black job. I just wanted, you know, they saying the black job. Trump did have a point because the Mexicans, they are coming in taking jobs. I see it. I see it in
but those
the
aren't black
time.
Jobs.
Africans.
So what are you saying? What are you saying, Habia?
This is what I'm saying. Let me finish saying what I was saying.
Go ahead.
I have worked where there was Africans that had the jobs, and then they get fired and displaced by Mexicans. It's been in the different offices that I've been in. Mm-hmm. You had services that have been there. You had some janitorial services that have been there for you. They get fired and they get them to the Mexicans, mm-hmm. and they do that in construction. You know, they do it in landscaping. So it is a real thing because it's a lot of Africans. They out of the job and they out of the jobs and they getting it. So he did have, that was a side of it, a point of it.
Okay.
Well, let me say this, sister, to that. We are looking at the results of racism and discrimination. All this giving a job to a Mexican or even a white person having a job or being a supervisor or owning a company, all this comes from the systemic history of racism that black white people have done. If you send your child to a school where he's taught by a white woman American history that leaves out the American Indian, leaves out the Native American, leaves out the African that came from Africa and his history,
kidnapped.
Then so then you're going to get this type of they took a job from me. No, they didn't take no job from you. It wasn't your job to have.
That's
and
right.
And the Mexican is coming because he sees a better life than he had before. He doesn't give a damn about you or anybody.
That's what I'm saying. He doesn't. That's right.
Oh, well, listen, I got to go.
Listen. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I just see how it's adversely affected people. I mean, they had the job, and next thing you know, and some of our people, they go looking for the Mexicans instead of hiring ourselves.
Well, it's just, listen.
Well, whatever.
Listen. It's just like in South Africa when the brothers and sisters in South Africa who are not educated, and then all these jobs were happening, and so brothers and sisters from Nigeria and brothers and sisters from Ghana came into South Africa to fill those tech jobs. And the brothers and sisters in South Africa got mad and wanted to kill them. Not the cracker. They didn't want to kill the goddamn cracker, but they wanted to kill them for coming in there and taking their jobs. And what who's really at fault? The system.
Urugu.
Exactly. Hey, I got to run. I got to. I really do. I love y'all. Thanks a lot. Okay.
We'll be back.
All right. BB4ODA. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep, that means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bibi Vahardier means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. Have a great, blessed day. See you on Monday. Have a good weekend. Safe weekend. Peace.
Great show.